Heads. Heads.
Ever play the coin toss game? Simple. I toss heads. The coin up in the air. Heads, I win. Tails, you win.
Heads.
50-50 chance.
Heads.
We're listening to Rosencrantz and Guildenstern playing the coin toss game from Tom Stoppard's
heads.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Problem for them is...
Heads.
It keeps coming up heads. Over and over
heads.
And over and over and over again. What are the chances of that?
Heads.
Well, Amir Azel has something to say about the odds of the coin toss game. He's written a book
heads.
Called Chance, a guide to gambling, love, the stock market, and
heads.
Just about everything else.
Heads.
Heads, I win.
Consider. One. Probability is a factor which operates within natural forces. Two. Probability is not operating as a factor. Three. We are now held within... un, sub, or supernatural forces. Discuss.
Yes, it has very deep mathematical roots that have actually been probed in the 20th century, the beginning of the 20th century, something called measure theory in mathematics. It's a very complicated theory, and it allows us to understand the workings of chance at a certain level mathematically. So I have to say at a certain level because, well, chance is chance, but under certain circumstances, we can explain and measure probabilities to a very good degree.
Well, speaking of the mathematical basis of it then, can you give me an example of the way in which we can codify luck?
I can give you simple examples where, you know, if you roll a die 6,000 times, then 1,000 times, roughly, each one of the numbers will appear. So that's something that can be measured mathematically and proven as a limit theorem. And in the limit, as the number of rolls goes to infinity, exactly a sixth would be of each number. So in simple cases like that, luck can be very simply measured in mathematics.
Simple is fun, isn't it? As you say, with a single die, you know that statistically each number will appear one out of six times. But in fact, if you roll it six times, you don't know how many times one is going to appear.
Exactly. And in fact, it could appear six times in a row, and that happens. And, you know, we have events that are unlikely, and still they occur all the time. That's how people win lotteries and so on.
The funny thing is, we get runs where it doesn't occur, and it doesn't occur, and it doesn't occur, and it doesn't occur. And, you know, you think about the next one, and you think, you know, have the odds increased now? Because six times in a row, I didn't get a seven. Am I going to get it this time? Is it more likely? It isn't, is it?
No, this is one of the biggest paradoxes of the theory of probability, that we can work out things long-term in the limit, but over a short range of trials, we really don't know what will happen. We only know the probabilities long-term. As a mathematician, I have to tell you that if you watched three times a particular outcome, such as, I don't know, an even number occurring on roulette rather than odd, it doesn't mean that odd has a higher probability of coming up now, because all the trials are independent of each other, and that's a very key concept in probability theory. Everything is independent of everything else in games of chance. For example, if you roll a die and you roll it again, the two rolls are completely independent of each other. So on one hand, we say long-term, as you roll the die for so many times, eventually it would be 1-6, 1-6, 1-6, and so on. But over a short range of trials, we can't say that because we really don't know what will happen. Having seen so many occurrences of one kind doesn't increase or decrease the probability of what will happen next.
Of course, all of us like the idea of there being a way to predict what's going to happen, that everything happens with a purpose, which always then leaves us hanging when something doesn't go according to plan. I mean, you're always saying, was that just coincidence that it worked that way?
Right. Murphy's Law, striking. But also Murphy's
right.
Law and also works the other way. Good occurrences in life happen perhaps as frequently overall as bad ones. You're doing better than expected, maybe as often, or certainly it does happen, as unexpectedly as bad things happening. In fact, you could view it as a normal curve as well, the center being what you expect, and then you have the tails to the left and to the right.
Yeah, of course, some of these mathematical equations, too, look very appealing, and then you use them and you realize that even though they're correct, it doesn't have any meaning. I mean, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, you can find him, but who cares?
Right, yes. I have a chapter in the book on that, actually. That's one of the things that have always fascinated me about chance is those coincidences that happen in life. You know, you meet somebody on an airplane and at random, not in the city. You haven't boarded together in the city where you live, for example, and you find out that by 1 degree of separation, meaning you both know a person in common, you know, you're separated by 1 degree of separation. That happens much more often than people expect, and I've computed that probability to about 1.5%, which is relatively high, I think.
Yeah, 1.5 times out of 100. That's amazing.
Right. So 1.5 times out of 100 times that you fly, you should have something in common with the person sitting next to you.
Now, the title of your book is A Guide is Chance, A Guide to Gambling, Love, the Stock Market, and Just About Everything Else. You've talked about gambling. What does love have to do with probability theory?
Oh, the reason I put that in is that there are nice examples where, you can think of meeting the person you would marry as a random event. So that's where chance controls love. I can imagine other ways as well.
Could you use the mathematical equation to figure out who you're going to meet and marry?
Well, the example I give in the book, the probability law that governs these things, is sort of interesting. It applies to other things as well. People have proved using fairly complex mathematics that, for example, if you could meet only 100 members of the opposite sex over your lifetime, if you go out with 37% of these people of the opposite sex, you should choose as your mate the next person that beats all 37, meaning that is more attractive to you than all the previous 37.
Well, that's common sense for you, isn't it?
Well, it's an optimality sort of rule that comes out from mathematics that your chances of meeting the best out of the 100 is by sampling, so to speak, the first 37. It's really 1 over E is how you get that, the natural number E. That's a proportion of the total. So out of 100 would be 37, roughly 37%. And then you know what you're looking for and then use the remaining ones to choose the best one. You pick the best one that is better than all 37, you stop right there. You marry her.
Of course, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to regret number 16 for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you ever worry that knowing as much as you do about this has taken the fun out of life?
I what I try to tell myself is not to practice what I preach, perhaps. That leaves the fun in life, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Amir Azel. His book is called Chance, A Guide to Gambling, Love, the Stock Market, and just about everything else.
I'm on the ball again, riding for a fall again. I'm gonna give my all again, taking a chance. I'm taking a chance.